Amen, amen. So I welcome everyone. And today we are going to continue our study in the book of Daniel. And we're up to Daniel chapter 6. Amen. So I want to say that I decided to work from the New Living Translation, which is a very clear translation, and it's close to the word. It's not, it doesn't go and add various things and so on and so forth. But it gives you the word so that we can understand it. Okay, so we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. And it reads, the Mede, Darius the Mede, decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and to protect the king's interests. You know, this book is the book of Daniel, and we're talking about Daniel, amen, and what the things he did as he was an exile in the land of Babylon, in the empire of Babylon, amen. So here, now we have Darius the Mede. Now, he's the king. The word says the king. There's some controversy about that, but we're just going to go according to the word. Amen? So he appoints, he divides his empire into 120 provinces. Oh, you could say 120 states. You know, that's what, you know, basically it means. 120 areas. Amen? And he appoints what he's calling a high officer to rule over each province. Kind of like the governor, right? You have states and you have the governor, right? And then he chooses Daniel to supervise all those governors, all those rulers, all those officers. Amen? So the kingdom is divided and he chooses Daniel. Amen? So the king is aware of who Daniel is, right? He knows history, he knows what's going on. He knows he can trust Daniel, amen, to protect his interests, right? You have to get somebody trustworthy. So basically that's telling us. It's again reiterating the faithfulness of Daniel, not only to God, but to the king, amen? Okay, so somebody read Daniel verse
3,
please.
So this is, I'm reading the New International Reader version.
Okay, you can read it.
Mm-hmm. Daniel did a better job than the other two leaders or any of the royal rulers. Mm-hmm. He was an unusually good and able man, so the king planned to put him in charge of the whole kingdom.
Amen. Amen. So here is Daniel. The king sees he's more capable than anyone else. Even than the high officers, Daniel is more capable. The king sees that. So what does he plan to do? I'm going to put him in charge of the entire empire, right? Because Babylon, that was an empire. That wasn't just one country. Okay? He didn't rule over just the area of Babylon. He ruled over an entire empire, which was called the Babylonian Empire, which was other areas, amen? Other countries. So he sees the capability, the ability of Daniel, and he says, you know what, this exile is the one that's going to be over my kingdom under me, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what does that show you? What does that show you? That God, you don't have to show yourself. You don't have to say, look at me, right?
That's right.
God will put it in the hearts of those that don't even know him. to exalt you, to exalt you, you know? And that's exactly what happened here, amen? I remember one story that I heard from the pulpit of Gateway. They were looking for someone to run, I think it was their music, or to run some department. And they sent out requests all over to different ministries and all over. They put it out there. And they couldn't find anyone capable. And finally, it came down to a man in his own church that was capable. So he didn't have, he never flaunted himself. He never said, look at me. Yeah, God directed, you see? So this is what that says to me. God directs and God elevates whom he wants to elevate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And, yeah, that's right. And then we have, somebody read verse 4, please.
So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him.
Amen, amen. No fault. There was nothing wrong about him. They couldn't find any charge to go to the king and say, look, he's doing this, and this is against your rule. They couldn't find that, right? So what does that say? What does that say? You know, what does that say to us? That when we are put in charge of affairs that are not ours, amen? The word of God says that we must be faithful. And here is Daniel put in charge of affairs that is, they're not his, you know, or about to be. Amen. He was already put in charge, and these men could not find anything to charge him with. He was faithful. Amen. And that's what the word of God says. You know, the word of God says that, right?
Yes.
That we have to be faithful, amen. I think it's in 1 Corinthians, maybe it's 4:2, I'm not sure because I didn't write the scripture, but this is what it says. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they must be faithful. Mm-hmm. They must be found faithful. This man, don't know how old he was. This man was found faithful. We can be very faithful with our own affairs. But not everybody. But we can, right? We make sure, man. We cross our T's and we dot the I's, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how are you about somebody else's affairs that you have been put over? Amen?
Amen.
We have to be found faithful. Amen. And Daniel was a faithful man. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's especially in a field that involves, from my perspective, numbers, right? Accounting, controllership, right? You're over a business's finances.
Yep.
You need to be found faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the integrity that God is looking for. Amen. We need to be found faithful. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 5 says, so they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Amen. So how did they conclude that that was the only way that they were going to find Daniel, you know, fault with Daniel? How did they conclude that it was only regarding his religion, right?
Because it was faithful to that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. They knew, they saw that he was faithful. They were aware of his dedication to God. Amen. They saw it. Daniel went up in the room and prayed 3 times every single day. Every single day.
Godless. That's right.
That's right. So what do others conclude about us? What do others conclude about us? Amen. Is our dedication to God obvious? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Do our actions conform to the way God says we should perform? Amen.
Amen.
Because non-Christians are looking at us. And everything that we do contrary to the walk, they hone in on it.
Yes, yes.
They
right.
hone in on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we always, it's like a constant walk and conversation with God. What am I doing? God, help me not to do this. Because like the Apostle Paul said, the flesh rises up.
Mm-hmm.
Paul say, the things that the Spirit tells me to do, I don't do. And yet the things my body wants, my flesh, I do. And it's a struggle. Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle that lived, he's telling you that there's always a battle between the Spirit and the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be diligent and conscientious of it.
That's right.
Many a times I will not contest or say anything because I know that I'm not going to let the flesh rise up. And it's a battle. I'm being honest with you. There's a battle that we, and the enemy will always
wait it.
Exactly, exploit it, because we're still in this human flesh. We, you know, salvation is stages. You're born again, you're saved, then there's sanctification. It's the process of renewing your actions, amen, your conduct. And the final one is when we go up to be with the Lord, then there's no problem, hallelujah. But always be aware that we're battling. We're battling the flesh. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's be aware that people are looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And even when you want to react, swallow it and go to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what I do. I swallow it and I go to God. And I say, and I'm honest with God. I'm honest. You got to be honest with God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I go to God and say, Lord, I want to do this, but I submit to your will. Change my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
My heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So they saw this man's dedication to God. Amen?
Amen.
See, I have a couple of quotes here. This quote is by Alexander McLaren. He was a theologian back into the 1800s, amen, and this is what he said. The world may not know the details of doctrine or intimacies of worship with God. They may not know that about you, right? But they can tell a bad temper, selfishness, conceitedness, or dishonesty when they see it. The world is a very poor critic of my Christianity, but is a very sufficient critic of my conduct.
Amen. That's right.
Right? That was McLaren. Now, this is amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Alexander McLaren. All right, let's go to verse 6 and 7. Somebody read verses 6 and 7, please.
So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions.
How about that? Look at what these faithful officers said. Amen. Mm-hmm. Look at them. Long live the king. Isn't that beautiful? Long live the king. We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Amen. That we should make a law and strictly enforce it, right? Right? Give orders for the next 30 days, right? That anyone who prays, listen to this, who prays to anyone except you will be thrown in the lion's den. So they appeal to. They appeal to his pride. They appeal to his pride. Pride is a very subtle tool of the devil. And we have to be very careful. Watch out when people start praising and worshiping you. Look out. Look and see who's behind that. Amen? That's pride. Pride. So they made an appeal to his pride. What did they make him feel like? What did anyone who's going to pray to you? They made him feel like he was a god. We don't pray to each other.
No.
We all are human. Amen. We have faults. The divine one lives in us, but we're not him. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is God, and there's only one God.
Amen.
And that's who we praise. We don't praise each other. We honor each other. Amen. We honor, but we don't worship each other. Amen. So they made an appeal to his pride. They have to make prayer and supplication to you. So what is supplication? When you're praying and asking God and you're in a need, and so you're asking this king for what only God can do. Only God can change the heart. Only God can change people.
Right.
Amen. And look at that, for an entire month. An entire month. I think they thought within 30 days, we're going to catch him in something.
Right, right. Yeah,
we're going to catch him we're going to catch him and 30 days, we can solidify it. Mm-hmm. Look what he does. He doesn't give up. He continues to defy the God King.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Faithful, Daniel.
Amen. Very faithful. That's right. You know, we should, if we could only be as faithful as Daniel. If I can only be faithful as Daniel.
Amen.
So let me give you, this is from Adam Clark. So he was another theologian, an Irish theologian, a biblical scholar. And this is what he wrote about this verse. What pretense could they urge for so silly an ordinance? A law, probably to flatter the ambition of the king. They pretend to make him a god for 30 days. Mm. So the whole empire should make prayer and supplication to him and pay him
alone
divine honors. And he says, this was the bait. But their real object was to destroy Daniel.
Daniel.
Mm-hmm. So imagine this,
get rid of him.
Exile from Jerusalem, who was captured when Nebuchadnezzar fought against Jerusalem. Oh, he captured it. He's going to be a ruler over us. He's going to,
infidel.
Yeah, tell us what to do and how to do it and judge what we're doing. But that's what happens in real life. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Places somebody else over, a person, a church, a job, or your boss, what's the first reaction? A ruler over me? Well, I know more than this person. Why should they put, you know, we have to watch. We have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God has us where he wants us to be. Amen? That demonic tool of envy and jealousy is what brings
conflict
ministries down. It's what brings organizations down. It's conflict. It's jealousy and envy. And we have to be careful because we're all subject to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. They were envious and they were jealous. You know, this exile, who the heck is...
Mm-hmm. Jealous of Daniel.
Yeah, very jealous of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't even, you know, he wasn't even a member of them. He was not ethnically or anything related to them.
Yeah.
It happens a lot in the business world. You know, we know that. You know, people are put over one, and you know more than them, and yet mm-hmm. they're exalted. But God has us where he wants us to be.
That's right.
God has us where he wants, and we have to be content. And God will move you according to where he wants you to be. Like some people get to retire. I have to throw that one in there. Okay.
mm-hmm.
Amen. God is good. Somebody read verse 8 and 9.
Now give the order, write it down in the law of the Medes and Persians, then it can't be changed. So King Darius put the order in writing.
Amen, amen. So that's obvious, and we'll get back to that. So, okay, read 10. Also read, I need verses 10 and 11.
Daniel found out that the king had signed the order. In spite of that, he did just as he had always done before. He went home to his upstairs room, its window open towards Jerusalem. He went to his room three times a day to pray. He got down on his knees and gave thanks to his God. Some of the other royal officials went to where Daniel was staying. They saw him praying and asking God for help.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, okay, so they issue this decree, which I can get to and get to a little later. So they issue this decree, and it's a law, and there was an understanding that when a law was issued, it could not be changed. It could not be reversed. Whatever the law said had to take place. And it was called the law of the Medes and the Persians. That's why they refer to it, okay? And they say this law can't be changed, amen?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that Daniel, being a high official, you don't think he knew about this law? Of course he knew about the law. Mm-hmm. He knew the law that was decreed. I mean, he was right underneath the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, because the king put him in charge of all the other
people. Mm-hmm.
So he knows that this law has been issued. But what does he do?
He goes and prays like he always does.
That's it.
He did what he always did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three times a day. Hallelujah. It says in verse 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt as usual in his upstairs room with the windows toward Jerusalem. Amen?
Open. Yes, amen.
Open, exactly. That's a good point. The windows were open. He wasn't trying to hide. And we can't hide. We can't hide who we serve. Amen. We cannot hide from when people don't agree with us, right? We still have to be who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot deny. Amen. And don't you think those officials were spying on him?
Of course.
They were waiting to catch him, and they caught him. Amen. Hallelujah. And here he is praying. Amen. Don't you think that Daniel was asking for intercession for the Lord to intercede? Mm-hmm. He knew what was going on, and that's what we do, right? When something goes wrong, that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go to God, ask God to intervene. Ask God, Lord, I can't do this, but you can do it. Ask the Lord to intervene in your situation and be constant about it. His word says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, amen? Hallelujah, keep on praying. It means keep on. It doesn't mean pray one time and it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
You read it in the Greek and it's keep on. It's continuous. The verb is used in a continuous manner. So we got to keep on. When you don't see it today, don't give up. Keep on. Now, let me ask you a question. Why pray towards Jerusalem? Because that should be a question. With his window open toward Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question?
Why did he pray towards Jerusalem? Because it says he had the windows open towards Jerusalem.
Because that's where God dwelt, in Jerusalem, in the temple.
Yes.
Because that's what God what?
Dwelt.
Okay. So let's go to, let me tell you, 1 Kings 8:30 and 2 Chronicles 6:21. Solomon prayed towards the temple in Jerusalem, requesting that God, that when, I can read you the scriptures, but the point is that when they prayed toward the temple, that God would hear their prayers. Amen.
Oh.
Go with me to 1 Kings 8:30, and the whole chapter is about the temple.
Amen.
Go to verses 8:30, 1 Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "And listen to the plea of your servant." This is Solomon praying. Amen. "And of your people Israel, when they pray towards this place and listen in your heavenly dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive."
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, this is all when Solomon is building, you know, he's built the temple, and it's the prayer of dedication.
Mm-hmm.
He's dedicating, and he tells the people, when the people pray towards this temple, which is in Jerusalem, right?
I would hear them.
When he says hear them, what does hear mean? Hear their pleas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hear what they're asking for and forgive them if they have sinned against you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was doing it. And then verse 21 says again, "And listen to the pleas of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place and listen from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive."
Amen.
That's the same prayer issued in two different books. Amen. Because Chronicles and Kings mirror each other. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Chronicles is time. This happened during this time. This is a chronicle. It has to do with Chronos, which is time. Amen. And Kings lets you know all about the kings, what they did. Okay? So here's Daniel. He knows the consequences. But he didn't compromise. And many a times we compromise.
Mm-hmm.
We compromise. And we can. We can, knowing the consequences. Because if you compromise and I compromise over things that we're not going to be killed for, What do you do if when persecution comes? When real persecution comes, what would you do? I mean, we're going to be gone, and we're going to be gone in the rapture. But if you look at these times that we're living in, there's a lot of persecution going on. And it's persecution. Many Christians are being persecuted because they don't look like somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
We can't compromise. We cannot compromise. And he did this 3 times a day, communion with God, praising God, supplication, asking God, you know, this Daniel did. Amen? He did not compromise. He did not compromise. So when someone asks you about your God, tell them. Tell them. Be straight up. Mm-hmm. Be up front. When they ridicule your God, stop them.
That's right.
Stop. Don't allow ridicule of your God.
Right.
Oh,
not at all.
Amen. Let's read verses 12. Let's read verse 12. We're in Daniel chapter 6, verse 12. Somebody, please read for me.
Okay. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Keep going?
Yes, please.
The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Which is, again, we come into the law of the Medes and the Persians. So we've always heard this when we study about Babylon and the Medes and the Persians and all this. So I was just researching this a little bit, and this is what I found. It says, while the Bible emphasizes immutability of this law, historical sources don't explicitly detail such a rigid legal system. However, the biblical narrative aligns with the known customs of that time and showcases the king's public image of absolute power. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll qualify this. Mm-hmm. The Bible said it, so I believe it was a law. Mm-hmm. Amen? Even though and it was practiced, it was a custom of the time. So even though there may not, no historical evidence has been found that this is a law, not yet. So this was a law, amen, that whenever a law was put, a decree was issued, it could not be changed.
Right.
It had to be enforced. Mm-hmm. Amen. So what do? They continue. Lisa, read 13 and 14.
Okay. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but it makes his petition, makes his petition 3 times a day.
Amen.
And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him.
Amen. Amen. Let's leave it there. So they told the king, right? That, you know, I can imagine them seeing Daniel, and I can imagine these men scurrying over to the palace or whatever. You know, I'm going to tell.
That's terrible.
So here's what Here's what, the king was deeply troubled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, how am I going to get Daniel out of this?
Yeah.
Yet I can't change the law. Amen? And what do you think he realizes now? He realized this wasn't about me. This was really about Daniel. Amen? This was really a plot to get to Daniel. It was not about the greatness or the divinity of the king. That was all. That's why you got to watch out when people start praising and you're so great and this and that. Be careful. We have to be careful.
Oh, it's the motive.
Where is it coming from exactly? What's the motive of praising me? You know, that's how you have to think. Amen. So it wasn't about his divinity. And imagine the emotional stress,
sadness,
good point, sadness that he's in. Amen. Hallelujah. He knew that Daniel was trustworthy toward him. Mm-hmm. The king knew that. Why would he put him above everyone else? He knew he was trustworthy. He knew he was faithful to his God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Secret. Daniel didn't keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He made a foolish decision based on faulty information. Amen? That lifted his pride.
I was going to say it based on his pride.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amen. How many times have we made faulty decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Faulty decisions, amen, because of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions that haunt us to this day.
Yes.
Amen. Decisions that affect somebody, that someone else pays the consequence for the decisions that we've made. All we can ask is for forgiveness and for God to intervene. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So,
amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 15, please. Somebody read.
I'll read.
Mm-hmm.
Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes, the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed.
Amen. Amen.
And read 16.
Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's in the evening. In the evening, the king worked as long as he could. You ever feel like that? You're trying to put something off, but you know it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects you all day, all day, all day. Well, this was where the king was at. I'm sure that he was horrified by what he had to do to his faithful servant, Daniel. He was horrified at the consequences. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he took his time, and he did not move until the officers came to him again. That tells you how horrified he was until they confronted him. Amen. And he, the king knew that Daniel was faithful to his God. Amen.
Yeah.
That's why he said, may the God that you serve so faithfully deliver you. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we have to be careful. The decisions that we make and what their impact is on other people. Amen. Verse 17. Anybody can read.
A stone, A stone was brought and placed over the opening of the den. The king sealed it with his own special ring. He also sealed it with the rings of his nobles. Then nothing could be done to help Daniel.
And 18.
The king returned to his place. He didn't eat anything that night. He didn't ask for anything to be brought to him for his enjoyment, and he couldn't sleep.
Wow.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we can see how he is emotional, how he was emotionally. He was so stressed, he fasted. He didn't have any entertainment. He was
destroyed.
Very distraught, and he was crying in his spirit. I'm sure that he was crying. Amen. And he sealed that tomb with his signet, ring, and that of his nobles, showing absolutely no one could rescue Daniel. His anxiety was obvious. He was anxious all night. Amen. And again, I say, have you been there due to decisions that you've made, that I've made, and other people are paying the consequences for those decisions? That's why we have to be very careful. Okay, verse 19. Pastor, why don't you read verse 19?
Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions.
And keep reading.
And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?
Amen. Hallelujah. Look at that. He was in anguish, right? He called out in anguish. Because why? He's thinking Daniel's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's been eaten up by the lions. Amen. And look what he says. I can imagine his anxiety all night long. Because it says at the crack of dawn, very early in the morning, as soon as the sun rays are out, he's running over to the lion's den. Imagine. Have you been anxious all night about something?
Mm-hmm.
Has it played on your spirit and your heart? I mean, I've had those nights too. Aren't they horrible? You can't sleep and you feel helpless. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to do, and you cry out to God, but just like you don't hear God. Why don't you answer me, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. So very early, he runs to the den, and look how he addresses Daniel. Servant of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
The pagan king is acknowledging that there is a living God, and it's the God which Daniel serves. Mm-hmm. Servant of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. God can manifest, reveal himself to anyone. Be careful how you judge people that are not serving God at the moment. Because if God could use a mule to speak, he can use someone that's not serving him. Amen.
Amen.
To speak, and someone that's not serving him to bless you.
That's right.
So let's be careful. Verse 23. Who wants to read?
Verse 21.
Oh, I'm sorry. Skipped it. I'm sorry. Yes, 21. Somebody read it.
Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. 22 is, my God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.
And read the next verse.
Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him.
Amen.
He believed in his God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Daniel says, for I have been innocent and I have not wronged you. Amen. And then it says the king was overjoyed. He knew Daniel was innocent. He was overjoyed. Amen. Look what God did. Look what God did. God delivered him. And you and I may be in situations, but God is faithful. We serve a faithful God, and we have to stand on it. And whatever you're going through this day, if you will cry out to God, he will deliver you.
Amen.
He will deliver you, but you got to stand on it. You got to stand on his faithfulness, that he is faithful. Daniel stood on the faithfulness to the point of being torn apart by lions. It wasn't just dying, you know, passing out and dying. It was being torn apart by lions. Mm-hmm. And he remained faithful because he knew he was innocent. Are we innocent? If you're innocent, cry out. Even if you're not, cry out to God. Cry out to God, because God is faithful. And the king is overjoyed. And he sees that not a scratch was found in him. Why? Because he trusted in his God. Can we trust in our God to see us through whatever we're going through? But we have to stand firm that he is faithful. No matter how much you're being tossed to and from, he is faithful. Amen. And you know, you have to realize that you're a Christian. You're the devil's enemy. You're his enemy. You don't think he's going to come against you just because you're a Christian? Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Mm-hmm. If you serve the Lord faithfully, every persecution you're going through, where's it coming from? It's coming from the enemy. He inspires people to do wrong to you. Right. He inspires them. The enemy. Amen? God is faithful. Mm-hmm. God is faithful. And we have to be innocent before the eyes of God. We have, anytime we do something wrong, we have to repent. So God always sees us as innocent. Amen. That's what 1 John says. Little children, when you sin, you repent and go before God. The Apostle John was speaking to us. We're the children of God. Newsflash. Every person on earth is not a child of God. I want you to know that. They are God's creation, but they're not his children. Only we are children. So bear that in mind. We who have said, I surrender, I give it all to you, Lord. You're my Lord and my Savior. Do with me as you will. Children of God, amen. And he says we have a right to ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive us. Amen. We got to bear that in mind, because we are still in this human body. We still commit errors. We still make mistakes. We still get attitudes. We still get PO'd. You know? Yes. But praise God who forgives us. Praise God who loves us infinitely. The infinite God loves us infinitely. There's no boundary to his love. Amen. He's forever faithful. God is forever faithful. We fall short. God never falls short. Verse 24. Somebody please read that. We're getting ready to finish. Verse 24, please.
And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them
their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces wherever they came out. Wherever they came at them.
So the king threw the people that had accused Daniel and their whole families into the den of lions. Amen. The Bible says what? The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall reap.
Yeah.
And that happened in the book of Esther with Haman and Mordecai. Yes. Haman accused Mordecai, and he planned an execution of all the Jews. And the same thing that he planned for Mordecai happened to Haman. Mm-hmm. And here again, you continuously see that motif in the Bible, and it tells us. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful what we sow, what we plant, what we do. Because as we say in the English vernacular, what goes around
comes around.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to them. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Amen. The world was his empire. The known world at that time, that was his empire. Amen. And he sent this message: peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel.
Hallelujah.
For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, look at this. What a prayer from a pagan king.
Yeah,
that's right. A king that does not know the God of Daniel. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Look what he says. That God is eternal. That his kingdom is, look at the prayer, that his kingdom is eternal, that he saves and he rescues, that he performs miracle. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion, you can put that in quotes, it seems like the Spirit of God was speaking through him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because he says everything that God is.
Amen.
Amen? And that his kingdom is. It's like a spirit-engendered prayer. It just boggles mind. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen. Darius was the Greek and Cyrus was the Persian king. Amen.
Cyrus.
Amen. He prospered. Lean on God for your prosperity. Lean on God. Be faithful to God. Talk to God. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you desire. Ask him to make your desires line up with his word. Because it says that we don't get what we ask for because we pray amiss. We don't pray right. You got to learn the word so you can pray according to the word. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. That's in the scripture.
Yes.
So when you pray, start looking at the word and seeing the situations where God came through for people and begin to pray those prayers.
Amen.
So God can come through for you. Amen. In those situations. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Renice.